Our lesson title this morning, Who Then is Greatest? I know it's a little different than what it says in the bulletin, but potato, potato. Who then is greatest? Folks, are we here this morning to be great? Did you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror this morning and said, I am the greatest? No, we're not pulling a Muhammad Ali. Now, some of the young men that played basketball yesterday rated number one, both of the teams that made it to the final game tomorrow night. Both of them teams are feeling pretty good to be greatest right at the moment. You know, the desire to be great in our lives, the desire to be good, the desire to win, the desire to be happy, the desire to help one another. We come together this morning to worship, to remember and be reminded of how great God is and what He's done for us, how great we have it, but also just to help one another. And in us looking at this passage this morning, when you think of Matthew 18, and if you're so inclined to follow along this morning, our whole lesson text comes from Matthew 18. We're going to go through the whole chapter this morning. But if you look at who then is greatest, as the disciples asked Jesus, who then is greatest? You know, and Jesus mentions a few specific things for I'd like for us to consider this morning about those people that are greatest. Those people that are greatest, Jesus said, are converted. They're not born that way. There's something that happened to convert them. And converted from what? Converted from sin. Converted in your heart to become as little children. Folks, we look at the little children and our kids that run around and play and the life that is in them and the freedom that is in them and the joy that is in them and the wonder and the awe. And they're not troubled by worldly cares. They're troubled only for a moment. And then they're back at it again. Folks, same characteristics Jesus is talking about here for us. As being great in the kingdom of heaven. Being able to overcome those things. To be converted as little children. And then he mentions about humbling himself as a little child. Is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he mentions causing sin. You know, Jesus says, okay, you got to be converted. You got to act like this. You got to be humbled. You got to be like this. Here's what the greatest attributes are. Being converted. Being humble. Now, how many of us, when we go to work, the boss comes in, brand new job. I want you to convert to all our ways, and I want you to be humble. Now, typically, the first one always comes along because you got a bunch of policies and procedures to read, right? The do's and don'ts. You got to say, I want to be here. Now, those people that are going through boot camp for the first few days or the first few weeks, they convert you. We talked last week about Paul. And after he was converted, he left the country, he left his friends and everything for 3 years. And then he came back. That's not the conversion Jesus asks us to go through. He asks us to be able to become his little children. To be humble. To recognize that we need him and we are under his lordship. We are not our own anymore. We sing that song, I am mine no more, I'm mine no more. That's a tough song to sing. It's a tough song to sing. But there's so much truth in it. But after Jesus says, here's the character traits, and here's what you have to do to become great in the kingdom of heaven, Then he says, once you become that, here's some amounts you're going to have to pay attention to. And that's causing other people to sin. Because once you become great, once you become humble, once you become converted, first thing you want to do is start saying, oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not right. What do kids do once they start getting some knowledge and start understanding? Tattling. One of the biggest problems with social media today is tattling. Jesus says, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Exactly right. Jesus says, because it causes people to sin. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty strong words from Jesus talking about how dangerous it is to cause someone else to sin, to cause someone else to become angry, to cause someone else to give up their faith, to cause someone never to have a faith, potentially an opportunity. So first he talks about your attitude with others and causing other people to lose their faith or not become a Christian or sin, something they have to go through. Then Jesus mentions in a few more verses, hey, sin is so terrible, get rid of it in your lives. How many of us, when we were kids, played with snakes with a stick? Just me. I'm the only one. Like poke a snake, watch him come back and you have his tail. Kind of torturing till he's done. You know? Then you drive by him on your bicycle the next day, see if they're still there. Typically a couple flies on it. Still a spot. But folks, that's what people do sometimes with sin. I wonder what this is all about. I'll try it a little bit. I know there's some fun there. I'm mad at somebody else, so I'm just going to go sin a little bit. I'm going to get back at them. Folks, that's how divorce happens. That's how adultery happens. That's how sin manifests itself. You're angry with someone else, so you want to get back at them. So you go sin yourself. Who's that hurt? Whose faith does that help? Folks, Jesus says when you're tempted, no matter how it is. And he doesn't say, okay, if you're just tempted in this way or you're just tempted in that way. Guess what he uses? He uses, if your hand or your foot, if you're doing something physically, restrain yourself. If you're thinking something, you see something with your eyes, something in your mind, something in your heart, get rid of it. Remove it from your life. Say, Satan, get behind me. Folks, if you can't get on the internet without sinning, never turn it on. Just make your mind up that you can't do that. It's not beneficial for you spiritually. Or to go certain spots. Or open your phone up. Delete the app. I'm talking in today's world. Delete the app that causes you to sin. Whatever it is, folks, get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Because it's not worth losing your faith over and losing your soul over. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Because if he was literally saying, do we have any record of people doing this other than other religions that do this for punishment? When you steal, lie, certain things. No, it was to be able to say, look at yourself, examine yourself, and don't let something, wherever you walk, whatever you touch, whatever you say, and whatever you think and see, if it's sinful, get away from it. That's what the greatest do in the kingdom of heaven. That's what converted people do. That's what people that are humble and say, I need to be under the lordship of my Savior, Jesus Christ, do. And continuing on in Matthew, Jesus says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little children, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Folks, we go back to the original question of our passage, and it says, what? Who then is greatest? That's our title of our lesson. Who then is greatest? Who then is greatest? As we continue on, you know, we think about, well, it's just the converted and the humble, and those that don't have their eyes poked out, or need their eyes poked out. No, as we continue on with this whole passage, Jesus explains what it takes to be great in the kingdom of heaven. In just this chapter, he says, don't despise little ones. You know what? Once we get a faith, gee whiz, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that talent. Gee whiz, this person doesn't do that the way I would do that. Jesus, he mentions it. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, don't despise the little ones. Don't despise your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be Debbie Downer. Don't be Mr. Hateful. Glad we don't have a Debbie here in the congregation. Don't despise them, because the minute you start with the attitude of judging your brothers and sisters in Christ, you've lost the purpose of seeking and saving that which is lost. When I start judging and nitpicking at my wife, imagine me doing that. A child of the Most High God making that mistake. I need to repent of that sometimes in my life. But how can I be caring for a soul and following Jesus and helping her in the way Jesus would when I'm saying, you're not, that don't look good on you. That don't taste too good. You ready yet? I'll say that again for you people that don't ever have to say that. You ready yet? Do we have any record of Jesus saying, are you ready yet? No. It's convicting to me. That's convicting to me. I need to be converted. We need to be converted. We need to be humble. We need to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not despise one another. It helps us focus on the spiritual side of life, seeking and saving that which is lost. That's so important in our lives. And it's tough to focus on that, folks, in our daily lives. It really is. We're busy with all kinds of stuff. We just are. Yeah, each and every one of us. You know? No matter where we're at in life. We're busy, 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 busy. How many of us got more stuff to do today than we want to get, than we can get done? I do. I just do now. You folks that ain't got no to-do list, amen. Jesus has got you one. Seek and save that which is lost. So we do have a to-do list. But we need to make sure, us that are real busy in this world, that we don't leave this off our to-do list. Because it helps us be the great people in the kingdom of heaven that we need to be. Because it's the will of our Father. Not just Jesus. Not an obscure God that's waiting for us sometime, or he's going to use us a little bit when we want to do it. He's our Father in the kingdom of heaven. My earthly father I haven't talked to in 28 years. You folks that still have an earthly father, cherish them. Cherish your dad. But let me ask and make sure, folks, make sure you're speaking to your heavenly Father. Is he not more important than our earthly fathers? Certainly. Let's make sure we recognize that as being one of our responsibilities at Kingdom of Heaven. As we continue on in Matthew 18, moreover, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Let's go back to the beginning of our lesson again. Because you know what? This passage is always talking about how to deal with a bad brother. You sisters are off the hook, apparently, because, I'm just kidding you. It applies universally. But I want us to apply this passage this morning to the question, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Those people, when they find out a sin, or when they've been hurt, or when they be wronged, they get on social media and they tell everybody and try to defame somebody. This passage of scripture written thousands of years ago of Jesus' words, Jesus is talking about the same stuff that people do today to be mean and hateful and destroy relationships. And in order for us to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, which is tough to do sometimes,
how long did it take to come over to Brother Bob and say, I'm sorry, Brother Bob, we got this between us? Just as fast as it did to type something hateful. We of Kingdom of Heaven, children of God, should never do that, folks. If your eye sins, your feet, your fingers cause you to sin, get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Go and tell him his fault or her fault. Be honest with one another. You hurt my feelings. You know what? Sometimes it's not a sin. Sometimes we just got hurt feelings. But if we don't talk to one another, some of us would rather it fester and we'd be hateful and we're following Satan instead of getting resolve and closure and love and forgiveness with situations. Rather follow ourselves than we would Jesus. Jesus will never let us down. And it's tough to go to talk to somebody one-on-one. But why? Gain your brother. Seek and save that which is lost. To help one another make it in the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're here. Following Jesus. Now, if the person refuses to get along with you, now there's two different things about that. Obviously, there's the deal when you're dealing with sin. Folks, a lot of times we think somebody sinned against us and they've just offended us. Doesn't have nothing to do with sin. I do it all the time. I've got to repent of it all the time.
My wife's saying amen, I think.
But even in those times, this concept of being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven works. To be humble, to be converted, to let Jesus guide our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit guide us to make right decisions and choices in our lives. And that's when this verse comes in and says, after you've done all the things you can do, okay, you're doing the right thing. If it starts affecting the church as a group, okay, then the leadership, need to follow some more steps and do some other things. To keep everybody humble. To keep focused on seeking and saving that which is lost. Not the color of what we paint the walls or the carpet. Not the times and the seasons. But to seek and save that which is lost. And to remember, as we always gather together, Jesus says, I am there in the midst of them. Don't forget me, man. How many of us in our lives forget Jesus during the day? Jesus says, come on, man. Come on, man. I'm right here. I'm right here. Continue on in Matthew. Jesus, it is written, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive? Shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. This master commanded that he be sold. He be sold. With his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Obviously, you can see the highlighted passages that I have here out of this text this morning. But if we ask that question once again that the disciples asked Jesus, who then is greatest? Once again, we're talking about sin. Jesus is talking about sin when he talks about who's the greatest. How do you deal with sin? Those that are greatest in the kingdom of heaven are going to be dealing with sin all the time in our lives. Tempted to sin, other people sin. And Jesus says, the disciples say, okay, we get this. You know, we go back. I get this part. Okay, I'll tell him about it. I'll talk to him about it. I won't despise him. I'm going to seek and save the lost. I'm going to convert it. I'm going to be humbled. I'm going to get away from anything that causes me to sin. But Jesus, I got all these brothers and sisters in Christ. They give me too much problem. Do I have to forgive them all the time? Same thing we ask God. Same thing, there's 50% or more divorce in our culture today. Do you have to forgive them? No. Move right on. Try it with the next person. You're going to have to learn how to forgive sometime in your life. Some people never do. Us, as Christians, have got to believe in it and have got to learn how to forgive and let things go. The only example we have of somebody doing that perfectly was Jesus. And when they ask him who the greatest is, he explains about forgiveness. In order to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you gotta never stop forgiving. Doesn't matter how many times somebody hurts you. That's tough. It's tough. But it's not an option not to. Folks, I highlighted, but he was not able to pay. And when I read this passage in my life, it reminds me of me. Because there ain't nothing I could do to come close, to meet in that grace, that mercy, the blood, the forgiveness, and the guidance I get in my life from God Almighty. I can't repay that. I can't even come close. I can't even come close. I can have the best day of my life. I can reach out and talk to 15, let's just use a normal, I had a good day Friday. I got to talk to probably half a dozen people about Jesus at work and in my life and different things. Good day. It's not even close to begin to repay how much we owe. And Jesus says, let me show you a little picture, snap in time. I could wipe you out and your family out and your children out and take everything you got away from you, but I won't. Because we too need to say, Father, have patience with me. Jesus, have patience with me. And that moves God to compassion and forgiveness and release and a blessed assurance that we are following Jesus. We are children of the Most High God. We in turn need to do the same thing as we see as we continue on in this passage. And in closing out, this is the last section of this whole chapter this morning. Jesus says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went, threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Our question again this morning, title of our lesson, who then is greatest? Folks, Satan wants us to be angry and shake our finger and grab people by the throat. How many of us have ever had to ask our boss, have patience with me? Have patience with me, just as it is in this passage. Have patience with me. How many of us have ever been angry back and forth with our spouse? Folks, there's people all over this world that get that angry with their spouse. I don't think it's that so in here. But Jesus is talking about it. He's talking about children of heaven, kingdom of heaven, forgiveness. How many times you forgive somebody? How to deal with people? To remember that we were children of the Most High God. Converted, humble. Can a converted and humble people shake his hands, shake their fist, grab a hold of somebody? I can't I can't see that, folks. I, too, in my life have had to say, have patience with me. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks, in our lives. I'll say this, Adam and Hannah, if you go through your whole life and never have to look at each other and say, have patience with me, that's a good thing. But it's also a good thing for each of you to look at each other and just have to say that. Have patience with me. I made a mistake. I'm having a bad day. Yeah, I'm not giving up. I'm a child of the Most High God. I had a bad day. I said something I shouldn't have said. Or I thought things I shouldn't have thought. I'm going to get them away from me and move on. So many of us got later like the hunchback in Notre Dame. We got all those mistakes we've made in our life. And last week, and Satan keeps reminding us and reminding us. And we keep going like this and this and this. And the next thing you know, we got to come to worship service. And God wants us lifting holy hands to Him. We've got to eliminate the sin in our lives that beset us. Forgive ourselves as God has forgiven us. We got to recognize and believe in God's promises to forgive us of those things that weigh us down. So we can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we can have the power to forgive. Can we have the will to forgive? To be obedient, to be converted, to be humble. To keep on keeping on in the way. Who then is greatest? From our text this morning, those who become converted. Whoever humbles himself, those who do not despise one of the little ones, to have the will of the Father who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should not perish. Care to help each other make it to the finish line. To help each other make it to the finish line. Jesus didn't come down here to set us straight, even though that's what he did. He came down here to help us make it to the finish line. He come down here to love us and show us how to follow him. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone to gain your brother. Not to prove a point. Not to be right. Not to win an argument. To gain your brother. Gain your sister. To seek and save that which is lost. To follow Jesus. To be humble and converted. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. To be confident in your faith. Folks, who then is the greatest? Those having patience with all people. Those having compassion with all people. And those having forgiveness. Because without that, no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. Folks, who then is greatest? We are the greatest. Let's continue doing that, following Jesus as he set these things out for us in Matthew 18. The lesson, is done anything that you need to repent of, or you want to become a child of God and start your walk with the greatest people in the world, or you need prayers of congregation for something you're struggling with. We love you and we want to help you. We offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.